Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX935, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX935.
My name is Greg Friedman. I am a modern version of those that have existed in every culture. I am a guide. For years, I have taken people all over the world to work with indigenous elders in exotic locations, only to show you that you are the magic, and we just help you realize it. It can be terrifying to look at our fears, and sometimes, even more so, to look at our strengths. I take you out into the wild, into the unknown, for an inner journey.
Welcome. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. Sex, relationships, dream interpretation, personal growth. We talk about it all. We don't tell you what to do or even how to do it. This show is all about you, your power, your path. And it comes down to this. Do you have the courage to be happy? Then come with us on an inner journey.
Out of town on a boat, going to Southern Islands, sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside and the downhill run to Papeete. Off the wind on this heading lie the Marquesas. Got 80 feet of a water line, nicely making way. In a noisy bar in Avalon, I tried to call you. But on a midnight watch, I realized why twice you ran away. Think about
how many times I have fallen. Spirits are using me. Southern Cross for the first time, you understand now why you came this way. 'Cause the truth you might be running from is so small, but it's as big as the promise of a coming day. So I'm sailing for tomorrow, my dreams are a-dying, and my love is an anchor tied to you,
tied with a silver chain.
I have my ship and all her flags are a-flying. She is all that I have left,
and music is her name.
Think about
how many times I have fallen. Spirits are using me. Lord, your voice is God, I have been around the world. I have been around.
know it will.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And the good news is the monsters aren't under the bed. They in your head. That's good news because that means you get to do something about them. You have a choice. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight a little bit because I got some monsters running around in my own head. And I'll tell you, I was just speaking with our guest this evening, Terrell Washington Anansi, and this came up for him today as well. Hurt people hurt people. You hear me say it all the time. What does that mean? When you are depleted, when you are without, when you are wounded, you are more likely to hurt yourself or another person. Now, me personally, through ceremony recently, I realized that I don't give to the point of depletion. I give past the point of depletion to the point of reaction. And I got to tell you from personal experience, it ain't helping anybody to give that much. I might think in the moment that it's altruistic. I might be driven by pure motives. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is this. If your passion does not include yourself, it's incomplete. If your consideration does not include yourself, it is incomplete. If your giving is to the point of depletion or, like me, to the point of reaction, it's not only that it's incomplete, it's hurtful to yourself and to the other people around you. So how do you change that behavior? How do I change that behavior? Inch by inch, step by step, thought by thought, and those monsters that are running around in my head get to be addressed, and I get to make a choice. Do I want to give that much because it's my pattern, my natural inclination, or do I want to maybe experiment with some other things? And I say it that way. I say experiment with other things because a lot of times people will go from one thing to another. And if that other new thing doesn't work, they just revert back immediately to the old pattern. And what I'm telling you is that ain't going to work either. Allow yourself to explore. Try on different things like you're trying on new clothing. And whatever fits, you wear. And whatever is funky or itchy or out of style or just ain't your gig for whatever reason, throw it back up on the shelf. Ain't nobody the worse for wear. We'll be back with more Inner Journey and our guest Terrell Washington Anansi right after email questions from y'all.
Could only breathe with you near me.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And I tell ya, and I tell ya, and I tell ya, no matter how much you flap your arms, flap your wings, you are not flying until you're willing to push off the earth. It's just that simple. I'm going to take some of your email questions, and then we get to play with Terrell Washington Anansi, just a beautiful human being and a living embodiment of the word art. And you'll see what I mean when you get a chance to talk with him. First question is from Jacob from South Beach in Florida. Jacob asks, I keep getting a back and forth from my girlfriend. One second she's talking about us being together long term, and the next second she's talking about us not being together at all. And it's driving me bonkers. Can you help me out? This is really, really simple. Comes down to this. Heard recently, and I really, really love this, and I'm going to change one word just because we're on air. If it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. Meaning that if you're not getting a clear-cut answer from her one way or the other, the answer is no. And it's really important to accept that. And there may be a time where it changes, but for the moment, it takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage to recognize that, why am I going and dealing with this if I'm not getting somebody that is enthusiastically and energetically just adoring me? Why am I expending my energy over this? Because there are people that will recognize you, that will see you and appreciate you. And we have to take a really, really quick break for station ID. And we'll be back with more Inner Journey with Greg Friedman right after this. Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and we are taking some of your email questions. Hopefully, Jacob, that was clear enough for you. Everybody needs to hear what Jacob was asking about. Each of us, every single one of us, deserves somebody that's going to recognize us, see us, appreciate us, accept us for who we are. We're not everybody's flavor, and neither would that be appropriate. But when we are, revel in it, enjoy it, roll in it, taste it, be ecstatic about it. And when it ain't, you don't have to be angry. All you have to do is accept what is, no more, no less. Next one is from Sarah. We have Sarah emailing from Portland. She says, I was brought up Christian but want to explore other ways of connecting to spirit, but I feel guilty. Is it okay that I look at alternative ways of connecting to God? I'm going to tell you a story. There was a woman that I dated very seriously for quite a while. and she was a devout Christian. And me being who I am, I wanted to bridge the gap. I wanted to explore. I wanted to find out. So I went to her minister, and he and I would have deep theological conversations, sometimes debates. We would go back and forth, and inevitably, after every single session, he would thank me, and he would exclaim that he wished all of his parishioners were as devout and as considerate and connected to spirit as I am. Now, I came from a completely different pathway than he did. And really, I'm going to tell you what it came down to with he and I. I just don't understand in Christianity where you have to say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because to me, and this is just mine, God is going to be bigger than that. He's not going to need to hear those specific words. He's going to look at you and how you lived and how you expressed your love for life and others and self. And that's going to be the resonating factor, not whether you utter a sentence or not. The point is, that I digress from, it is, in my estimation, absolutely vital to explore other pathways and other possibilities. Oh, if only just to reaffirm that you are on the right pathway for you. And that may be exactly what you do. You may travel all over the world to find out that your backyard is the place you want to be. One last one. We have, I'm trying to get her, Jocelyn calling from, emailing from LA. And she asks, I hear a lot of talk about medicine plants and want to experiment, but I don't know where to begin. Can you help? The short answer is yes, I can help. And I'm going to tell you whatever I express to you here and now over the air is not going to be a complete response. And you really need to go into this with consideration, with intention, with exploration and discovering who a guide that's appropriate for you is. If you want to reach out to me, you're welcome to do so. Go to greg@gregfriedman.com and just give me an email and we'll see about how to open up the conversation for you. But here's what it comes down to. In Los Angeles, you can't throw a rock without hitting somebody that's telling you that they're a shaman or a medicine man or the great and powerful Oz. And I'm going to tell you this. 9 times out of 10, when somebody's saying that they're a shaman, they ain't. When somebody's telling you that they're a medicine man, my warning flags go poof, right up into the air, because I have had the privilege and the honor to study with, to observe, to do ceremony with a number of amazing men and women who are actually shaman and medicine men. And not one of them ever said, I'm a medicine man. They didn't need to. They embodied it. They lived it. They breathed it, and it was incredibly evident. So what do you need when you're going to explore medicine plants? Intention, integrity, and a great guide. And that takes a fair amount of research, a whole lot of consideration of self, and a lot of patience, not just jumping into the latest, greatest, shiny object. And we'll be back with our guest, Terrell Washington Anansi, and more Inner Journey right after a little truth.
Truth, yeah, a little bit of truth. Truth, yeah, a little bit of truth. Yeah, a little bit of truth. Yeah, a little bit of truth. Stories they have left me. Deep in the depths of wonder, no, I need to find some comfort. You know my spirit, it can't fail, yeah. And I hope there's just a little bit of truth to all those tales. Woke up with you this morning, in my mind, you know love was forming. I was playing with myself. You know I really think I'm going blind. I'm living life on a little bit of slice of time. Best friend promised they have failed. Hope there's just a little bit of truth to all those tell me how, yeah. I think strong men go blind. I want to turn this from water into wine. I can't believe that I fell, 'cause I feel the way, I'm all away in the mail. You know, I'm waiting to excel. A little bit of truth. A little bit of truth. Stories they have left me, shadows of my history set me now deep in the depths of wonder. No, I need to find some comfort. You know my spirit, it can't fail. No, and I hope there's just a little bit of truth to all those tales. Woke up with you this morning in my mind. You know love was forming, I was playing with myself. You know I really think I'm going blind. I'm living life on a little bit of slice of time. Best friend dramas, they have failed. Home stands just a little bit of truth to all those tales. Strong men gon' fly. I wanna turn some water, baby. I wanna turn it into wine. I can't believe that I fell. I sent my feels away in the mail. Waiting to his hell. Yeah. A little bit of truth. A little bit of truth.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and that was just a little bit of truth, sung by, written by, and performed by our guest tonight, Terrell Washington Anansi. I got to tell you, he is a sacred artist, a performer, a poet, inspirational speaker. And it reminds me, a long time ago, I told you all a story. Shaman I was studying with, on purpose, by accident, beside me, said to somebody else, Greg is like an artist in search of his art. Terrell is like art, always looking for the appropriate way in the moment to express it. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's a beautiful thing to be next to. It's a beautiful thing to see the art that he creates and to be his friend. Terrell, welcome to Inner Journey.
Hey, Greg. Glad to be here, man. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the first question I ask everybody.
Right.
Number of different shaman and medicine men and teachers, authors, artists on the show, and to a person, there was a catalyst or some kind of series of events that really thrust them on their path. Is that true of you as well?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I had a history of addiction, and I had a bottoming out where everything that I was doing to really support my ego of being a money-making machine so I could compete with everyone else on that rise to fame no longer worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost everything that I had. And being stripped down to nothing, all I had left was my personal integrity and my art, my writings, my paintings. And I had to leave. I had a gallery at the time in downtown Laguna Beach on Forest Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had to shut it down, lock the door, leave everything that was packed in the house, labeled and packed and ready to go, and decided I was done.
No. And you walked away from
and
all of it.
I walked away from all of it with just the clothes on my back and some of the art and my writings that I wanted to be safe, and that was it.
Wow.
And I went out in the world. It was quite interesting for me because I felt I had no other choice, because every trick in the book that I had used to keep myself buoyant was no longer working. The universe had another story for me to have.
I have so many questions about this, because in all the different things that you and I have spoken about over the years, I don't think we've ever really gone into this much. When you say you are addicted, and I'm asking this because there's a lot of people out there that are addicted that don't even recognize that they are. There's a lot of people that know they are, but don't know how to change it. When you say you're addicted, what did addiction look like to you specifically?
I personally have an addictive personality, which I now celebrate. I don't think it as a negative, but what happened to me was I began to drink in the excess and take drugs in the excess just to be present in the world.
When you say just to be present in the world, what do you mean by that? That's a curious statement.
I could not be in a room of people and feel comfortable unless I had some kind of alternative supplement in my body. I had not developed a way to be present without sedating myself in some form or fashion.
And pretty much everybody that's come back has talked about hitting rock bottom. And you mentioned that as well.
Right.
How did you know this was your rock bottom? What did it look like? What did it feel like?
Well, this was actually my third time of reaching out for sobriety. I had 7 years, went out, 7 more years, and I was back to that space again. I was older. I knew after years and years of being on this journey what it was, what it looked like, what it tasted like, and I could not lie to myself and not say, I'm at a bottom, and I have to do something different.
And I understand that you know, but just so I can understand, for our listeners to understand, how did you know? What did it look like to you? What does knowing to you as an individual mean?
I had no personal integrity. I could not tell the truth.
Whoa. I say whoa because that's about the last thing I'd ever think of tea.
Right. I could not tell the truth because I was living a lie that everything was okay. Most of the time, I showed up in some form of being out of my body in order to... I mean, I was a functional user, so everyone thought I was fine, except I had a few altercations here or there. But
you still do. Please.
But I know. I still do, and I don't do anything. But but I was so out of integrity as a person, and I was living in such incredible fear.
I got to tell you, I want to hear more about this, but we have to take a station ID.
Okay.
We are here on Inner Journey with Greg Friedman with our guest, Terrell Washington Anansi, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and we are here this evening with TWA, Terrell Washington Anansi. T, before we split, we were both talking about some issues that you were going through with addiction. Mm-hmm. Neither of us thought we'd be talking about this tonight, but this is where Spirit is leading us,
right.
So this is where we're going to go.
Right.
All right. You were talking about how you recognized rock bottom. And you said that basically it came to the point where it was undeniable that you were out of integrity with everybody, which included yourself, I'm assuming.
Right. Well, the thing about it, I'm a gifted person. I realized that I wasn't using my gifts to their highest purpose. I come from a family of my grandfather built churches, taught a cappella gospel music. My mother, my aunt were gospel singers, so I come from that. I come from that that legacy of people that are healers, people that are uplifting, you know, our society, our world. And I saw myself sinking into self hate, not really using my gifts at their higher space to actually make any kind of world change. And when I realized that I was not living my purpose, the biggest thing that got to me was my mother died. And I was with her the last 3 days of her life. And I had to look her in the face. And I was high, not being in integrity. And she was dying and she was looking at me like, what are you doing?
She was seeing you.
She saw, she was my best friend. I could not lie to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking at me like, what's happened to you? Where have you gone? And all of a sudden I went, oops. My pants were down, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I had to really admit I was not living up to my potential. She died on Thanksgiving Day, which is my favorite holiday. And so out of Thanksgiving for having been able to spend the last 3 days of my mother's life with her, and she died in the middle of a prayer circle. And so I decided, well, if that is not a sign, then what is?
Dig it. I want to start, well, first of all, thank you for that. That was huge and vulnerable and intimate and very courageous. I really appreciate you sharing with us. I want to circle back around, and not for me, because, like I said, there's a lot of people out there that struggle with addiction. Mm-hmm. And you talk about having been sober for 7 years, and then you fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And then sober again for 7 years.
Right.
And then you fell off.
Right.
What made you both fall off and get back on the first couple times?
The lack of belief in who I am and my personal integrity. Not willing to deal with the things that were crippling me emotionally, the trauma. I had experienced a lot of trauma in my life, and my reaction to trauma was to kill the pain.
Numb the pain.
Numb it. I wanted to kill it. That's what made me obsessive. I would drink and use to the point that I couldn't feel.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I've heard that a lot. I've spoken to a lot of people in recovery. I know some people that are in NA that were heroin addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him about that, and he said, look, I didn't care about getting high.
Mm-hmm.
All I wanted was to not feel.
Exactly. Right.
So what are you going to tell those people out there right now that are listening that are on a similar path than you were? What are you going to say about not dealing with your feelings, about numbing out your feelings, about not living your authentic life? Is there any message that you give to them? Is there any pathway out you could suggest to them?
One of the things I really found that really helped me was to actually be willing to heal the trauma, be willing to let go of the habits of being in trauma. I learned to redirect my energy and my purpose to honoring what the gifts that were given to me by being traumatized.
I got to tell you, you just said something that I think is an absolutely brilliant statement that I've never heard before. The habits of being in trauma.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, please?
Well, you begin to tell a story. For me, I had to change my story. My story had been one of living in fear, a lot of fear,
mm-hmm.
not honoring myself, and actually not even believing I had any sense of self-worth. No matter how talented I was, I didn't think people really believed in me, and I didn't even deserve to be on the planet in many forms and fashions. And so the only way I could feel comfortable being in the world was to be a little altered. And then that way, I could believe that I had worth. And I could be present. I could be in the room.
So how do you get people to change your story?
For me, I created new rituals of living.
Ooh, what a great phrase. What the heck does it mean?
I learned how I'd spent years being a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning and the ending of my day, I did half an hour of chanting. And I realized as a singer that I loved it. It took me to that place of feeling safe and comfortable with my being. And in doing so, I decided I will start and finish my day in a chant, prayer, meditation. And beginning that centering that I started and learned to be, I began to sit with myself consistently, have conversations with myself. And because I started doing it on a daily basis, eventually what was produced out of that is Echoes and Ashes, my book that I put out. It's on Amazon.com. And Echoes and Ashes, it means to change the echoes that you are hearing in your head into ones that are actually working for you and not against you, supporting of you. And the ashes is a spiritual happening every second. I have the ability to flip the switch to make better choices in my world to support myself because charity starts at home. If I can love and support myself, then it enables me to go out in the world and support other people. I could be more present for myself, my family, and my community.
Gorgeous. We are going to take a little break, and we're going to play one of your songs. It's called Respect. You want to tell us a little bit about it before we hear it?
It is about that.
All right. TWA and a little respect. All right, before we left for break, I promised you that was going to be TWA singing Respect, but anybody that knows that was Miss Aretha, and we'll get some more Terrell on in the second hour. But right now, we're speaking with Terrell Washington Anansi, and we're both commenting during the break that neither of us had anticipated going down the path that we did. And if you have any questions or issues, or you're struggling in any way, shape, or form with addiction, go back and listen to the podcast, the first part of this show. It may change your life. T, if people want to find out more about you as a person, as an artist, how would they go about doing that?
Well, I would, the best way is to really actually go on Facebook. I'm Terrell Washington Anansi on Facebook, and I've got Terrell Washington Anse blogger on there also. And I also write for goodmensproject.com. Mm-hmm. I have a weekly column, and you can follow it if you like. And you can, it'll be under Terrell Washington Anse, author, but goodmenproject.com. And I talk about different subjects that are pertinent to me and how me, what I can do as a modern man to help make it a better world.
Yeah, and you do. And here's the thing that I hear you saying consistently. One of the primary things that you could do as a modern man to make it a better world is to make you a better man.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that I got to tell you, I'm a giver. Terrell's a giver. There are so many people that love being of service, but they forget no matter how much you serve everybody else, if you are not taking care of yourself, if you're not focusing on who you are as you are and what you need, then you're not really helping the world as well as you could.
Exactly. Because that adage, healer, heal thyself, is very, very true. Because one of the things, I've done healing work my entire life as a teacher, as a writer, a community activist. I'm not a bad person. I just couldn't take care of myself. That was the problem. There seems to be a stigma to being an addict, but what it is that, I came from both two parents that dealt with their own personal addictions. Mm-hmm. And it was something that just occurred, and I was raised in it. And when it came time for me to make decisions on how I react to the world, I utilized what I saw.
Yeah, you learn from what you were set out as the model.
Exactly. And I never thought I'd be an addict or alcoholic. It was like, no, never. That's not going to be me. But when you don't know how to support yourself, which is what happens, mm-hmm. when you don't, that song Respect was very, very pertinent and correct, and it's playing because I did not have enough respect for myself to actually support me and my gifting. And that's one of the things that's why for me, the things that I do now, I support myself so I'm able to use my gifts to go out and change the world in a manner that I see that's not working.
And it sounds to me like you just said that one of the last gifts that your mother gave you was the directive to go support yourself.
Exactly. Because when I saw my mother dying, and I lived my whole life to support her, I'm the oldest of six, mm-hmm. and I saw the disappointment in her eyes, I felt guilty.
Oof.
And that guilt was huge. And I could not lie. I could fool a lot of people. You can't fool your mother. There's no way, form or fashion, but my mother loved me unconditionally. I just saw the sadness in her eyes.
I get it. And unfortunately, we got to take a break. All right. Horrible place to do it. Be back right after this. Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey, and we are just having a fascinating conversation. And it comes down to this. Somebody held up a mirror for you.
Yes.
And that reflection that they held up was undeniable.
It was.
And the reflection that you saw, you couldn't turn away from.
No.
And that was the gift.
Right.
And when you recognized you recognized who you were as a gift, as an artist, mm-hmm. as a valid, valuable human being. And you also recognized how you were, I don't want to put this disparagingly, but I don't know how not to, how you were abusing and neglecting and malnourishing those gifts that are you.
Exactly. And I come from a whole line of healers, and I realized my mother was dying. I was not doing my gifting mm-hmm. properly. I had fallen into emotional, physical, and spiritual abuse of myself. And I had, at this point, I had both my grandparents had died. I had become the eldest. And I'm going to lead this crew of people in my condition. And that was the job I had with my mother. And I went, I'm not capable. And why not? Because I was not really taking care of myself. How could I take care of someone else? And I fell into a depression when I realized that everyone that I loved was dead. And that lasted for a while. And then I decided, I'm going to have to do something different. If I truly love them and miss them and want to honor them, take those gifts they have given me and utilize them. And take the best of them. They're human. They were not perfect. But the things that gave me inspiration, I decided to focus on those things, to be able to feel them with me at all times. I feel my family with me every day because I make a point of connecting. I connect with them, feel their support. And what I do now is in celebration of their lives so that my life continually has meaning.
So that seems like a natural segue into the question of what is a sacred artist and what makes you specifically a sacred artist?
I'm a sacred artist because I honor my gifting. I take my gifts to honor the sacredness and the value that I see in the breath of life, the beauty of life. All my art forms are about creating living metaphors of expression. I am a living expression of God and inspiration.
Yeah, you are living, breathing embodiment of art.
Right.
It's who you are. And that's one of those things that you talked about. And I've spoken about this a number of times before. Often, in Native American ceremony, when an elder puts you up on a hill, he's going to ask you to do one thing. He's going to ask you to find your song. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what that means to you about finding your song?
For me, finding my song is finding my truth and my method to sing it. I think that's interesting you asked me that because my grandfather taught a cappella music, and so singing. But one thing that kept me alive is I would go to the beach, I would walk the streets, and I would sing. Mm-hmm. And I would sing the words and the poems, because I'm a poet also, that would come to my mind. And in that, I wrote every day. And in that writing every day, you cannot write every day without coming up with truth. Mm-hmm. You can't lie on a consistent basis to yourself consistently every day. And then I'd realize what I was actually saying. And what I realized, what I was hearing, my words, my gifting speaking to me, I couldn't ignore it. I had to speak back to it, have that conversation with spirit. And that, to me, is what your song is. You have that ongoing dialogue. One of the lines, the first line of Echoes and Ashes originally was, this is a calling for a conversation, a calling for a high, high invocation. I want to sing a song of beauty and love, not a blues song. And I was singing an ongoing blues song, which had no value. I think of a line from Billie Holiday, I want to sing the blues, not live the blues.
Oh,
and
that.
I was living it. It had to change.
Now, there's something really important that you were talking about. You were saying that part of your pathway out was chanting. And it was your meditation.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things that freaks a lot of people out. Meditation doesn't mean chanting necessarily. It can. It doesn't mean sitting cross-legged in a cave for 12 years without eating or drinking. It can't, really. But meditation can take on the form of walking on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It could take on the form of swimming,
mm-hmm,
or exercising or breathing or chanting or writing,
mm-hmm,
or creating art. I had a client that could not sit still to save her life. Mm-hmm. So what did I do? I threw her, figuratively, into the pool. And I said, I don't care how many laps you do. All I care is this, breath and form. That's mm-hmm. the only thing that you're going to focus on the entire time that you're swimming. Because breath and form brings you to here and now. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about what yoga is? Yoga, all these people have tons of different definitions for what yoga is. To me, the Sanskrit word yoga means to yoke. And most people think of that in terms of being burdened down. Mm-hmm. But it's not that way. It means to harness, to focus. Mm-hmm. Yoga, to me, is all about creating breath and space.
Exactly.
And whichever way you do that on this planet is your meditation.
Exactly.
So it is vital that we meditate. It's not vital that we sit cross-legged and meditate. Mm-hmm. Echoes and Ashes. Such a beautiful title. What was your initial inspiration? What really made you say, I need to express myself in this way at this time?
I knew I had to change the echoes in my mind. It was not working. I had to change how I saw the world, how I decided to be in the world. So those echoes that were no longer working, I needed to change them. I needed to create new rituals of being and new rituals of existing. And so I had to become the ashes, a spiritual happening every second. Allow myself to be rebirthed every minute of the day. As long as I could do that, I could stay close to creation, spirit, mother, father, God, whatever you want to call it. I could embrace that and sit with myself and have that conversation with God that allowed me to have a deeper conversation with myself.
Okay, first of all, that was gorgeous. Secondly, oh, heck no, you are not getting away without repeating what ASHES stands for.
A spiritual happening every second.
Translated for me, what I hear him saying is being present.
Exactly.
Being here, being now. Every single practice, every single philosopher and teacher and theological path says that is the key to happiness. We are here with Terrell Washington Anansi, and you are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and we'll be back right after this little station ID.
Inner Journey, guiding you on an adventure of spiritual and personal growth, helping you realize and make real the life of your choosing.
my name is Don Miguel Ruiz, and it's great to be with you, Greg, and with everybody who is listening to us, and to have the opportunity to share my ideas. It's a great pleasure once again to be in your show. All my love to all of you.